Good morning. Jeff Norton and I were talking before the service, and he says, "I don't see a box." He said, "You've been reprieved." He says, "That was the hardest part about preaching, was the box." So the box is not there. Noah's not here. I was looking for him. I was going to ask him to bring it up if he was here. Breck somewhat introduced me. My name, for those who might not know me, is Grant Soderup. I'm one of the elders here at the church, and I have a privilege of bringing God's word to you today. God has been working on this passage in my heart and mind since I took a class this winter on Romans 9. And if you know anything about Romans, latter part of Romans 8 and Romans 9, there's a lot of controversy about it. And there are many theologians that have discussed those passages for the years on whether they belong about the nation of Israel or corporately or about as individuals. And the professor and I that I took it from didn't necessarily agree on some of that, but I took the class and enjoyed it. And so I took this passage at the end of Romans 9, which is 30 through 33, and that's what I did my exegetical paper on. And that was back in February. Now, we were in Hebrews at that point, but who knows where we were going to progress along Hebrews. So that section is about faith. And as you know, since June 6th, Phil has been in Hebrews 11 about faith. And it just amazes me all the time, being a believer for 40 years, how God just melds things together and uses different people. And it's just amazing. So Phil introduced us with verse 1 of Hebrews 11, and Breck read it earlier. "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Faith continues to be discussed in verse 3 of Hebrews. "By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God. So what is seen is not made out of things that were visible." Faith is an important attribute and an important idea that we have seen all through Hebrews 11. But the passage that I'm going to preach on today is Romans 9, 30 through 33. And at the same time, I'm going to tie it together with James 2, 14 through 26. This passage in Romans must not be taken out by itself. We have the, like I said, the section in Romans 9 earlier about whether it's about the Hebrew nation and the Israelite nation, or if it's about individuals. But we also have the first 8 chapters of Romans. And we need to remember to tie it all together and not just bring one passage out by itself. So first I'm going to do a quick summary of what we're actually going to be talking about, Romans 9, 30 through 33. It is a passage that contrasts how righteousness or salvation is obtained. Is it obtained by the works that come from obeying the law? Or is it by faith? This is what we'll be looking at through that passage. We'll be looking at it from the text here, but we'll also be looking at it with Old Testament and New Testament passages to back it up. So just to go back, we've got the book of Romans, which Paul wrote in about 53 to 55 AD, most likely from the city of Corinth, and he wrote it to the Roman people. The people of Rome. He was hoping to go visit Rome. That was one of his desires in life, was to go to Rome and visit the Christians there. Paul had a calling on his life. It was evident on the Damascus Road. God took and blinded him. He similarly was blinded like the nation of Israel to Christ. But God cast off, as it says in Romans, it cast off those scales off of his eyes, and he saw Christ. And that is believed to be representative of what the Jews were to have done too, but they were still stuck on the law. The fact that Paul was called to be an apostle to the Gentiles was heresy. He was a Jewish zealot. That was heresy for him. So that was God working in his life, not the traditions. Let's look briefly back through Romans to help understand where we're at. And I'm going to go right back to the first chapter of Romans and into Romans 1, 16 through 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. And then he quotes Habakkuk 2:4, the righteousness shall live by faith. Paul continues discussing righteousness and faith in Romans 3. And we're going to go through a few of these verses up through to understand Paul's lead-in to chapter 9. In Romans 3:21, but now the righteousness of God has been manifest apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinctions, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine foreparents he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boastings? Is it excluded? What kind of law? By the law of works? No, by the law of faith. For we hold that one who is justified by faith, apart from the works of the law. In the next chapter 4, Paul brings up Abraham and asks the question, if Abraham's justified works, he had something to boast about. But what does it say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. In this statement, it is that the faith in God, not the works, is what was credited to him as righteousness. Paul restates it again in Romans 4:9. And then in verse 13, the point is made that Abraham's descendants would inherit the world not by the law, but through the righteousness that comes through faith. Romans 4:16 gives the reason for faith being the key to righteousness rather than the law, so as not those who are only under the law, the Jews, but all who are in Abraham's faith will receive righteousness or salvation. Paul starts off Romans 5 with the results of being righteous by faith. The believers had peace with God through Jesus Christ. And Paul continues in Romans 5:2, that the access to Jesus Christ is by faith. All through the first 8 chapters of Romans, Paul is demonstrating that it's not the law that brings about righteousness, but it's faith. When he gets finally to Romans 9:30 through 33, Paul is summarizing all that he has said in the first 8 chapters. about the law and faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time that we come before you with your word. Help us to understand it more. Lord, help me to say the words that you desire, Lord, and that I will be out of your way, and that you will present the message that you desire. And I just thank you and praise you. Now, as that is our introduction, let's get to Romans 9, 30 through 33. And it says, "What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained it. That is, a righteousness that is by faith. But that Israel who pursued a law that would lead to righteousness did not succeed in reaching that law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as if it were based on works. They have stumbled over the stumbling stone, as it is written, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame.'" This section starts out with a question. What should we say then? This is the same question that if you just turn back possibly a page in Romans 9:14, Paul asks the same question. He says, "What shall we say then?" And the answer is, the question that goes with it is there any injustice on God's part? By no means. For he says to Moses, "I will have mercy on who I have mercy, and I will have compassion on who I have compassion." God is in control. He has compassion on who he has compassion on. But here Paul is bringing up that same question that he brought just a few verses earlier. And it leads into another question. The question of righteousness and whether it's by faith or by the law. The Jews for centuries have believed that their righteousness or salvation came by following the law, the principles and the ceremonies that were a part of it. For those of you who remember, there were 613 at one time. That's a lot to try to keep and maintain. This passage then brings in the Gentiles, who we will see received righteousness by faith. The Jews and the Gentiles were in great disagreement on how righteousness was to be achieved. The Jews actually believed that the Gentiles should come under the Jewish law to obtain righteousness, and one of those being circumcision. So as we continue in Romans 9:30b, that the Gentiles who do not pursue righteousness have obtained it. That is, a righteousness that is by faith. In this verse, Paul uses the word righteousness three times. According to Muntz, Gentiles who never had a law standard of righteousness to guide them. Gentiles never had the law's standard of righteousness to guide them. Nevertheless, obtained righteousness or salvation. Their right standing before God was based on faith. Israel, on the other hand, pursued a righteousness based on the law, and they failed to achieve it. Jesus taught in Matthew 5:17 that he was not here to abolish that law, but yet to fulfill it. Christ is the fulfillment of the law. The Old Testament taught that the law was to be followed, but the application was to be within the heart. God was not looking for people who were just blindly following the law with their outwardly actions. The Gentiles did not run after righteousness, yet they grasped it. as the goal of the race they were running. Yet, the Jews who ran, or as far as they were runners, after the law of righteousness, never reached the terminal point of the race, the well-understood law. The Gentiles did not understand that following the law, as their culture had not taught it, as the way that they would receive righteousness. In the Old Testament, we see that the Jews who understood also that it was their faith that made them righteous. These are the heroes of the faith that we've been looking at since June 6th. They understood that they had the law. They needed to follow the law. But ultimately, their righteousness came by faith. Every one of those phrases starts out by faith. By faith. These verses that we've been looking at are a summary from other verses Paul has written in Romans and other places. We looked at them such in the introduction, such as Romans 1:17, where Paul stated, "For it was in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith," which is the quote from Habakkuk 2:4, where God is responding to Habakkuk to tell him that faith is the key to righteousness or salvation, not the works. In Romans 3:22 and 23, "Now, apart from the law, God's righteousness was revealed, attested by the laws and the prophets," that is. God's righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe, since there is no distinction. Paul starts these verses out clarifying that it is not the law that brings righteousness or salvation, but faith. Not to say that the law is not important. Instead, it needs to testify to the righteousness by faith. The law and faith go together as parts of righteousness. Later in Romans 10:6, Paul reiterates, "But the righteousness that comes by faith." This is not a new concept by Paul, but is brought up at this time to summarize and to show the contrast. Gentiles have understood righteousness is obtained by faith and not by the law. Faith is not merely the means of righteousness, but the source. Faith is not merely the means of righteousness, but it is the source. The Gentiles don't have the law as part of their culture. When Christ came, he showed them that it was the need for salvation by faith. Unlike the Jews who fell back on the law. In verse 31, "But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not achieved the righteousness of the law." Israel is pursuing the law, believing it leads to the righteousness and salvation. It is seen in Isaiah 51:1-2, that the righteousness of Abraham and Sarah came by faith. This was in Isaiah. These are Old Testament passages that the Jews had available. This is the gospel. As it is taught in Romans 3:20, "For no one will be justified, made righteous, in his sight by the works of the law, because the knowledge of sin comes through the law." The law shows a person where they fall short and cannot fully obey the law, no matter how hard they try. In the long run, the law shows unrighteousness, shows us our unrighteousness, rather than leading us to righteousness. And our shows our need for redemption that comes through faith in Christ. Paul later says in Galatians 5:2, "You are not You are trying to be justified by the you who are trying to be justified by the law are alienated from Christ. You have fallen from grace. Paul's whole point in Romans and Galatians is the Jews have missed the point. The law is not what leads to righteousness, but instead it's faith. Which is where Paul turns in the next part of the verse. When Paul writes from faith, he has already supplied the key. He does still more clearly when he says regarding Israel that it had pursued righteousness, but more specifically, it pursued a law of righteousness. The Jews were caught up with the law. The law was a distinguishing mark of a Jew. Part of their distinguishing marks were how well they followed the law. But it's the opposite of from faith or by faith. The Jews believed that by following the law on the outside, it would bring about righteousness or salvation. It should be noted that Paul does not say that Jews were made righteousness by their goal, but that their goal instead was the law that would bring them righteousness. They were not seeking it by faith. In verse 32, why is that? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as if it were by works. Paul again asks the question, which he has already answered many times before in the book of Romans. It is faith that brings righteousness, not the works of the law. Paul is again affirming the impossibility of salvation other than by justification by faith. Paul, by the life God has given him, is a testimony to that fact. Paul and his salvation speak wonders to the salvation that comes by faith. The thief on the cross next to Jesus speaks to it too. Because he had no time to do his works, but yet God saved him. And Jesus said that he would see him in paradise. The more Jesus tried to teach them that faith was the only source, the more they clung to their works and the law. In verse 32b, they stumbled over the stumbling stone. This idea Paul brings from Isaiah 8:14, and the stone to stumble over, the rock to trip over. And it's also referred to in Peter. The stumbling stone was the cornerstone. That cornerstone is the cornerstone of our faith. It's Christ. But it was the stumbling stone for some. In Luke 2:34, Christ himself is to be to some a stone of stumbling. It is sad that Christ should be set for the fall of any, but yet it is so. Matthew Henry says that the foundation stone should be to any a stone of stumbling. It's a question. The rock of a salvation, the rock of offense. So he, Christ, is to the multitudes. And so he, Christ, was to the unbelieving Jews who rejected him. Because he put an end to the ceremonial law. In the Old Testament passages, it refers to Christ as being God being the stumbling stone. But it goes on to the application in the New Testament, where Christ is the stumbling stone. Some apply this to unbelieving Jews who reject Christ, to whom he came and was a stumbling stone. For the apostle quotes this scripture with the application to all who persist in their unbelief of the gospel. It's their unbelief that is their stumbling. In first, unbelief of the gospel of Christ. To them, he is a rock of offense, because being disobedient to the word, they stumbled at it. Christ is a stumbling block for many. Faith in him is the way to salvation. Not by one's works, and not by one's obedience to the law. Paul has been addressing the Jews throughout Romans 9, but at the same time, it's there for the Gentiles. The stumbling block concept is just as applicable to the unbelieving Gentiles. Christ is the way to salvation through faith, not by obedience to the law only. In verse 33, it says, "Look, I am putting a stone in Zion to stumble over and a rock to trip over. Yet the one who believes on him will not be put to shame." Paul quotes, as he does many other times in the book of Romans, Old Testament passages. Here he quotes from two Isaiah passages, 28:16 and 8:14, which are later again quoted in Peter. The two texts combined expressed an idea that the stone being laid by the Lord in Zion, which should be the support of the faithful, is instead a stumbling stone to others. That stone that should be the cornerstone of our faith, Christ, instead that's what it is to us, but to others who do not believe, it's a stumbling stone. Paul is trying to beat this concept home to the Jews who are striving to live by works rather than by faith. As we've seen in the book of Hebrews, it speaks of faith, starting in Hebrews 11, 1 and 2. "Now the faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. For our ancestors won God's approval by it," by their faith. Hebrews continues to show that faith is needed to understand creation. "By faith, we understand that the universe was created by God's command, so that what is seen has been made from the things that are not visible." In Hebrews 11, 4 through 40, we have seen how it talks about many of the leaders of the Old Testament that were counted righteous by faith. The author affirms that the faith is necessary as he goes through each person: Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. None of these people listed are considered righteous by following the law. None of them have been considered righteous by following the law. But it all goes back to by faith. So let's go back to the title of the sermon: righteousness by faith, not by works, but with works. The Gentiles received righteousness by faith. The Jews were striving for righteousness by following the law, which is impossible to keep perfectly. Only Christ kept the law perfectly, and salvation comes through faith in Christ. Now let's move on to the last part of that title, but with works. We have seen we must have faith in Christ to receive salvation. We have the law to show us our imperfection and our need for our perfect Savior in Jesus Christ. So does it end there? We have our eternal life card for heaven. We're all set. But I ask you, Does it end with just your salvation by faith? What is required of us then? You say, didn't you just say that our salvation comes by faith and not by works? Yes, I did. It does. Our salvation. Then we don't need anything else. Yes, for salvation, that is true. I want to show you what follows salvation by faith. And that is seen in all of the characters listed in Hebrews 11. They were all listed as by faith, but their lives did not stop there. Did Abraham live by faith and it stopped there? No. He lived out his faith through his actions, through his works. He didn't receive his salvation by his works, nor did he add to his salvation by his works. He did it because of his faith and his salvation. He lived out the way because of his faith. This is where we need to head in our second key passage of Scripture to understand this concept, and that's in James 2, 14 through 26. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good? What good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and that faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteous. And he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was it not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out the other way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from the works is dead. In this passage, we see that James the Apostle is carrying on a similar message to Paul and Peter, except he takes it one step farther. You can have faith in Jesus Christ, which is good, because that is your salvation. But it can't end there. Faith is not in itself the end. We cannot achieve salvation by works, as we've seen in Romans 9, but according to James, our salvation does not stop with our faith. Our faith is to be lived out in our works. These are not to get us better standing with God, but to demonstrate the work that God is doing in our lives and our desire to live more like Christ. Our works are to be fruit for God. And in Romans 7:4, it says, likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to one another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that he may bear fruit for God. In John 15, four through eight, it says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is what bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so proved to be my disciples. As we abide in our faith, we bear fruit for him, for his glory, not for our own. We will be demonstrating fruit according to the scriptures." It is a very familiar passage, but let's go to Galatians 5. Oops. Galatians 5. And the fruit of the Spirit. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." As we as believers are to be living out these attributes, the fruit of our relationship with Jesus Christ. These are to be the marks of a believer. The fruits of our lives with Christ are to be shown by growing in these attributes, which will then be demonstrated to those around us. As we apply these attributes, there will be fruit produced. As we show people love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, gentleness, and self-control, these are the works of our faith. As we desire to grow in these attributes as a result of our faith. As a result of our salvation in Christ, by Christ alone, not by works, but by faith. The Jews thought they could obtain a salvation by obedience to the law, which could never be kept perfectly. The Gentiles didn't have the law to follow and were presented with the gospel and came to salvation by faith. The Jews, for the most part, have rejected Christ and the salvation by faith alone, through grace alone. We have received salvation by faith, not of our works, but with works, which we demonstrate Christ and his gospel working through us. We, by our own nature, are not loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, or self-controlled. But it's only Christ and our salvation by faith living out through us that produce those things. So here's a couple of questions for you. Have you received that salvation that comes by faith in Christ alone? Or do you think by doing good works you can still obtain salvation? Salvation is by faith alone. Can I ask another question? What are you doing that will produce good fruit and those good works that come out through Christ in you? May I suggest reading Galatians 5:22 each day and taking one of those attributes and asking the Holy Spirit to help you work on that day? I didn't count. How many are there? 2, 4, 6, 8, 9. No, there's more than a week. But do it on a rotation and keep going through it. Read the scripture over. Put the post-it note on your mirror. Put a post-it note on your dashboard, wherever. But work on each one of those attributes. Some of us have more problems with some than others, but we each probably need to work on them. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, the walk of a believer must be by faith and not by sight. Jesus Christ is the way to salvation, and it comes by faith. At the same time, there is a need for the works as a result of our salvation. As seen in James 2:17, you can't separate the spirit from the body. Likewise, you can't separate faith without works. These two concepts go hand in hand. We need to keep the law, but we must live by faith, which is in the heart. The Old Testament Jews had the law, but they also had the examples of faith in the Old Testament, and they missed the correlation between the two. We need the law to show us right from wrong, but we can't think that it produces our righteousness before God. As was said about Abraham, his righteousness was brought by his faith, not by fulfilling the law. It is faith that leads to righteousness, but our faith is demonstrated also by our works. It is faith that leads to righteousness, but it is our faith that is demonstrated by our works to those around us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for being able to come before you. Just humble our hearts. Help us to live by that salvation by faith, Lord, that comes only through you. Lord, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, Lord, that they'd come and talk to one of the leaders, Lord, we pray that they would come to know you today, Lord. We just thank you that we can't work for that salvation, because we would have a reason to boast. But instead, Lord, the works that we do should be about you and our salvation, to show people you. We just thank you and praise you. Amen.